Since 1865, many have sworn an oath and worn the badge to protect and serve Pima County, a county that stretches more than 9,100 square miles. Now, a new group is trying to earn the badge. This is The Class.
It is pretty nerve-wracking, but it's a big relief once you complete it.
The recruits all passed. Now, there's just one thing to do. On the last week of The Class, 21-2 gets the badge they worked hard to earn.
Welcome to episode 8 of PCSD.
What's the word?
We have a very special show for you today. I'm Angelica Carrillo.
And I am Kevin Adger.
And today we have
Deputy Stanley O'Dell and Deputy Marcus Mindoro. They were on The Class when we did the show back in 2021. You weren't around for this, but I spent a lot of weeks, a lot of days with these two in The Class. So I am happy to have them on. It's been a long time since we sat down and talked. So this will be, it should be interesting, a little funny, because these guys are jokesters. So we'll see what happens.
And so for those of you guys who don't know or don't remember what The Class was, it was this online series of videos that Kevin did, and he followed these guys around through the academy. It was, what, summer 2021?
Yeah, so we started in June, so it was like perfect to be in an academy, go outside. Right, guys? Wasn't it perfect to be outside?
Oh, it was very nice.
The beach was pleasant.
Right? Oh, we'll get into that,
too. We're going to get into all of that stuff. So again, we have a Deputy Stanley O'Dell and Deputy Marcus Mindoro. Kevin, go ahead and take it away. These are your people.
All right. Well, welcome, guys. I'm so glad to have you here. I know. So let's talk this. All right. What do you think when the class officers and counselors like came up to you and said, hey, we're going to have somebody from CR come down, which is community resources, and like film you guys and maybe talk to some of you as you're going through the academy? Go ahead, Marcus. You go first.
Oh, cool. I get to go first, right, Stan? They first asked us. I was like, all right, cool, sure, let's go. Why not? You know, you can figure out things as they go, or it's just as day-to-day grind. Only difference is you'll have somebody following along sometimes and following up with you on the camera, but that's about it. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Stanley, what'd you think?
To be completely honest, I wasn't very intrigued. I wasn't happy. In my head, I was like, all right, you know, lay low, get through this 5.5 months, graduate, do what you want to do. And everything but that happened. And this was the start of it, was that a camera was going to be following me around and I'm going to be interviewed. So initially, I was like, why me out of all these other 30-something people?
Uh-huh.
But at the end, I have a different outcome.
Did you feel like it was like more pressure to like graduate, get through it all? Because it's like, if I start this thing, like I better finish this thing.
I did 100% feel it was more pressure with the camera being on you. But like looking back at it and thinking about it, it kind of helped me. Because when the camera was on me, I was like, don't look weak. Don't look like you're struggling. Try harder, be better. So ultimately, at the end of it made me better.
All right, all right. What was it like having the camera like right there? You know, I was following you guys. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. You know, I've heard of you guys. What was it like having me there with the camera and just like right in your face?
For me, it was nerve-wracking. I didn't want to look bad on camera. Nobody wants to look bad on camera. So in my head, I'm like, Am I looking like I'm struggling, like I shouldn't be here? Or are my knees touching the ground when I'm in a push-up position? And then I can see like other of our classmates struggling, because it's rough to endure that during the academy, especially the physical attribute of it. And with the camera on me, I feel like it helped me. It helped me try harder and be better because I had that pressure on me. I wish our whole class had that pressure on them.
I think
everyone would have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if the whole class as a whole had the actual quote unquote camera on them, it would make them push harder or try not to, as they say, ride somebody's coattails. So they would actually have to put forth everything being on the limelight, there's no chance that somebody can just like stand off in the shadow and just follow along versus going into it and just like full steam. So you're being under the scope the whole time. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Well, in that episode with you, you know, you guys were doing the 911 tower challenge, right? Oh, and yeah. So since you served, that was kind of, you know, that was something for you when I pulled you to the side and, you know, talked about you and 9/11 and where mm-hmm. you were. I mean, kind of go back to that day when we were talking to you.
It was good doing with your teammates, with your class, and it was for a good cause. So I totally enjoyed it. It was worth it.
Right. And you told me where you were. Take me back. Where were you like when you got the call for, cause you were being shipped out, or remind me what was going on?
See, I was stationed in Germany. We have a guy that's super into planes, and I was walking back to the dorms, and our buddy was like, "Hey, did you hear? It's like somebody like ran a plane into the Trade Center." I was like, "Get out of here, Rio! No way!" And then he's like, "No, serious." Next thing you know, you turn on, and you're like, "Holy smokes!" You know, somebody ran a plane into a Trade Center and the towers, and it's just like, wow, okay. And then we get a recall, and then next thing you know, the base is locked down. You're in a up armored vehicle with a 50 cal, and like months after you deploy. But
yeah, pretty tough for you still as you talk about it, huh? Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Stanley? What was that like for you doing the tower challenge?
Not to throw you under the bus, Marcus, but I'm a little younger than him. Uh-huh. I do remember the day also, not as seriousness as he took it, because I was a freshman in high school. And it came on Channel 1 News, if you remember that. I'm not young. I mean, I'm 38, so a lot of the other generations or the new generation doesn't know what Channel 1 is.
I remember.
It was a block TV in your classroom, and it would come on about like school information. And it's always school related, but something that came up and it showed the towers and one under duress and in fire, and not really getting the whole, like the culpable state of it, that how serious it is, because you're just, you know, high school kid. But you start to realize it when my dad was still employed with Davis-Monthan in the Air Force. So all of the military kids at the school, because I went to an off-base school, got taken out by their parents like ASAP. You started seeing military kids just gradually leaving school, as I did as well. And then it was explained to me when I got home how serious it was. And it took forever to get on the base. The base was on a complete lockdown. They barely let us in, even though my dad, who was listed, had me in our car, and they did a full sweep of the vehicle, even though we lived on the base. Mm. Like it was something very different for sure.
Mm. You guys have very different experiences. First of all, Marcus, we want to thank you for your service and for your continued service to our community. You as well, Stanley, your father, and your continued service. How have those experiences sort of shaped the deputies that you guys are today?
It's definitely molded me. So, you know, I was a corrections officer for some time before going through the Deputy Academy. And after being now 2-3 years out on the deputy side of the department, I really enjoy it, because I get so many stories of my pops when he used to work with us, and some of the, I guess you could say, old-timer guys, like the 10-year guys. They'll randomly just come up to me, even though I don't know them, and say, "Hey, you're Mike's son," and then they'll tell me stories about what they enjoyed about him, and it's always something so positive, and that's just something like I want to be too. I don't want to be negative in anybody's eyes. I want to always have a fun story that someone could share about me when I'm not around, and that's what I've been getting back about my father. And the things that he did, the people that he protected, Not to get on a tangent, but at my current assignment, I had a mother of one of the students come up to me and explain to me how my dad saved her life.
Hmm. Wow.
And I told her, don't talk to me or I'm going to cry. I got watery eyes because she went on to explain it, and it was nice to hear, you know, and stuff like that. I bring back to my mom, and I share those stories with my mom. And of course, my mom cries rivers when I tell her this, but she loves it, you know. And I think with my father being in the department, has not one has helped me because of the name that he conducted in the department, but that I've been told that I'm doing a good job following his footsteps.
It's really nice. Special to continue that legacy.
For sure.
That is awesome. Here's a question for you guys, going back to the show. Did you guys watch the episodes while you're in the academy, or did you guys wait till after? I mean, I know they were delayed a couple weeks, you know, from where we were at, but did you guys watch them?
We definitely watched them.
As a group?
So Stan and I would, we had our little ritual in the morning when we'd go to the parking lot, because we'd usually be like the first ones there.
Uh-huh.
First ones in and last ones out.
We were the president and class president of the academy, so.
So yeah, we would.
I mean, we would have been the first and last anyways if we were not.
Uh-huh.
We had more responsibility than others, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But yeah, we would we'd come up and look at the video off to the side and just watching it, or we'd message each other, and then we just like talk about it in the parking lot.
We watched every episode, and then just for you guys, so you can see what kind of impact that it does do, because there's a lot of viewers. I watch them, and I see how many people view it as well.
Uh-huh.
But one of my neighbors, he's a Border Patrol agent. His son's in middle school, and he wants to get into law enforcement when he's older. So every time after an episode, I would catch him outside, like taking out the trash or picking weeds or whatnot, or just passing by. He would always say, oh, what happened at that last episode? And he would kind of like ask me follow-up questions, like, I saw you guys were doing this. Why were you guys doing this? Or what was the reason for that? Like when we were shooting, or when we're doing the vehicle pursuits,
mm-hmm.
or when we're just in formation. He had a lot of questions, but he was so intrigued by it and engaged in it. And I think because he thought like I was a celebrity or something, because my face was on the episode, and it made him even more excited because he knew a person personally, which was me. And his interest was so high, so peaked, that it made me happy to hear, you know, that people are into it and they're watching it, and it affects them in a positive way.
Well, that's awesome.
That's a great impact. What about like your family? Were they? You guys talked about the beach. I know that the beach is not as a good time as a real beach. Let's talk about that.
And it's not called the beach anymore, but
it's not.
It's like the sandy area.
Wow. Okay. So the beach gets sand everywhere, like the sandy area.
If you know Tucson, Arizona, there's no beach here. So that kind of explains what the beach is.
Yes.
But how. Man, I'm like a celebrity in the Philippines because of my mom. So my mom would send every episode and forward it to like my hundreds of cousins that I have in the Philippines. And they thought I was a celebrity. They're like, oh, look at him. He's on TV. He's in this show in his academy. And my mom, the friends, they thought it was like the coolest thing ever. But except for our classmates.
Oh,
they kind of were like better you than me type of mentality.
Yeah,
their aspect was of it. They're quick to haggle Stan and I about being on it and about being in the videos. And then there was definitely a couple other times where some other folks were videoed. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, cool. So not just us, right? And then next thing you know, it's just us again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but then it is what it is. I had fun with it. You had fun with Stan?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. It was a great recruiting tool for the department. And that's kind of why we wanted to do it. A couple classes after you guys, we went to go talk to them, and I walked in the class, and we were talking about it. They're like, yeah, we watched it. You know, it helped us, or it's going to help us through the academy. So people were watching, you know, whether you guys liked it or not. You were the celebrities, but you guys were chosen for a reason, right? And you guys ended up being president and vice president for a reason. So I think it was a great recruiting tool, great way to show potential candidates that want to be deputies for our department what you're going to go through, the type of training you're going to go through. So I think it was a great experience just kind of watching and seeing. I picked up so much. I know some 10 codes because of it.
he tries to quiz me all the time.
Yeah, and just different rules and different reasons for things. You know, it was great to see.
From someone looking out, I was working for the news at the time, and I remember watching those episodes, and you just don't realize everything that you guys have to go through to be the deputies that you are. You know, they push you to, you know, that point because you don't know what you're gonna come across, right, in the field. What would you guys say is some of the most challenging parts of the academy where you thought, all right, that's it, like, I don't know if I can do this anymore? What were those challenging moments?
I don't know, because I've been through that's the funny aspect of it. It was going through the academy. I even told Stan a couple of times, couple of sessions, and we would be getting a corrective behavior, a quote unquote, in at the place that we would call the beach. I've been through so many different other schools to where the physical and the mental aspect from the military, they really they try everything to break you down. And I was like, well, let's see what they can hand me over here, you know? Yeah. And I don't know. I didn't have any of those. I had one time where I laughed. I smiled and they got upset because I smiled.
I remember that.
You remember that? I had to do an extra set lap of bear crawls because I smiled.
Oh, no.
They came up. They're like, oh, what's going on with you? And I look and I smiled and they're like, another lap. I'm like, stand back up, smile again. I was like, well, we're not getting through this guy. So, yeah, go ahead, go.
Yeah, if it could be noted, in the academy setting, one person messes up, you all mess up.
Right.
So his smile messed it up for all of us.
Great. No one was smiling after that.
No. And
smiles are contagious.
Yeah, that is true.
It's usually a good thing, right?
Yeah. Well,
usually.
Yeah, not in the academy.
Kevin already told me I wouldn't make it because I'm always forgetting things.
Yeah.
Locking my doors, car doors.
We had some folks that were infamous for not locking their cars.
Oh, I remember. Remember the first day, right? Yeah. That was the first day I was filming. They were just starting. Yeah,
Cox
that's
came all right.
In. Yeah, deputy. Yeah.
Deputy Cox came in heated on that one.
Yeah. Somebody. Yes. I forgot who was it. Somebody left their door
unlocked. I'm not going to say any names. But Mendoza.
Yeah. But yeah, he had all their stuff, and I was like, "Oh, it's getting real."
And so that's exactly what happened. Like Kevin says, you'd forget to lock your car or something. That's what happened with Mendoza. He forgot to lock his car. We're in the middle of class and our class officer comes in highly upset and throws his belongings that he had in the trunk of his vehicle in the air.
That's an understatement.
We enjoyed it. And again, we tried not to laugh because some of the stuff got stuck in the ceiling.
Stuck in the rafter. Yeah.
We could even see the counselors behind the class officer trying to hold it in because it was a good toss.
I bet you he never did it again, though.
And he never
did it. Oh, no, there's a couple of times. Oh, no, the papers. We had that one time, I think, was it Sergeant Farmer? Mm-hmm. Now Lieutenant. He came in. Was it him or was it Deputy Cox? I know Sergeant Farmer came in on one of them.
I'm not going to say any names past recruits.
Came in and the papers went up in the air. And there was quite a few that went up in there, too. They got stuck. They
literally
hit
the
ceiling.
That's pretty high ceiling there. So
because I said class officer, I didn't say anything.
That person remains nameless. But I know who it is.
That did that. that changed it for us, because what did we do after that?
Every
morning we would have a person check the car to the left, check the car to the right.
And we would also double check.
Yeah, because, I guess it's either the OCD in us or...
Trust but verify.
Yeah.
Well, and it's great leadership too, right? I mean, you're the class president and vice president, and you want to take care of your own. So that was good leadership on your guys' part.
Yeah, and we didn't like having to get talked to for things like that. The repetitiveness is kind of I don't like. All right, lesson learned. If you learn from the lesson, cool. If you don't learn from the lesson, then you got a problem. So. Mm-hmm.
We didn't want any problems.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to take a short break and come back on PCSD. What's the word?
The Pima County Sheriff's Department is hiring. We're looking for our next class of deputy recruits. We offer a competitive salary and a lot of benefits like a take-home car, vacation and sick days, 12 paid holidays, insurance coverage, retirement plans, tuition reimbursement, and much more. If you're a trustworthy and dedicated person who's ready to serve your community, visit gopcsd.org to apply. Ready, set, join.
Welcome back to episode 8 of the class. We have Deputy Stanley Odell and Deputy Marcus Mindoro here with us. We have been talking to them about their experience on the class when they were deputy recruits, and now we're 3 years after that fact. So let's get right back into it. How did it feel getting to graduation day?
It felt great. It was a weight lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, for me, to be honest, that was a goal that I had set since, like, I was a kid. When my dad got with the department, I'm pretty sure it was 2004 or 5. I always wanted to do it. And my dad retired with the military as the kennel master. He was a canine police handler in the Air Force. So it is always what he wanted to do as well. But when I started in 2010 as a corrections officer, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people I was working with. I don't like to use the word comfortable, but I was comfortable because I enjoyed my environment and the things I was doing. But ultimately, this is what I always wanted to do as a young man. And getting to that point and receiving that deputy badge at the end of graduation was probably one of my personal biggest accomplishments. So.
Nice. Marcus, you graduating, getting the badge, what was it like for you?
It was a good, another accomplishment. So it was the marking point, if you would, for my retirement into my next career. So 22 years gone. Now it's time to set up for another 20 plus. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what you're doing right now. So what is your current assignment, Mark?
Well, currently I'm with the MISS unit, mental health support team, working with a really great squad. I'm only there right now because I'm on light duty. I broke my foot or my ankle in the Motors Academy that we recently went through. Note that a very large motorcycle against your ankle, the motorcycle's gonna win. So hopefully get going, go back with my squad, back to my original assignment in Foothills, mm-hmm. and then get back on the street and keep on moving. Look forward to other jobs that could come up. I need more opportunities, more training. I put in for an additional job that is up and opening. So we'll see how that goes, to include just get better, get ready for the next Motors Academy and re-achieve what I wanted to do and hopefully pass that one. Next go around without breaking any bones.
All right. Those motor guys.
What'd you put in for?
Oh, I like that.
The SET.
Oh, cool.
Someone reached out to me and asked, it's like, hey, did you put in a memo? Is that something you want to do? So I told him, yeah, I'd do that. So
for those of you guys here listening, don't know what SAT is, it's our speed enforcement team that is going to be starting up, and we're going to have a whole podcast on that. And so hopefully Deputy Mendora will be a part of that as well. What about you, Stanley?
Currently, I'm assigned to our school resource officer unit. I'm a SRO at a middle school. I'm there as a resource officer to support like the school administration, the staffing, with any type of issues that they may have involving like criminal activity or even civil issues. But more importantly, I'm there for like mentorship for the students and the kids. And that's what I honestly truly enjoy that. It's super nice to go to work and being able to talk to students and engage and interact with them and build bonds and relationships and trust from them. Some kids are raised not to trust law enforcement, and I clearly saw that when I had started initially, but I've seen a big turnaround, you know, with me dunking on the fifth graders out there.
We saw those photos. Yeah, you played basketball with them. Maybe you can teach Kevin a thing or two. Here we go.
Oh, boy. I need to bring Kevin out there, and he wouldn't even have to jump.
The way my basketball's been going lately, I need to work out some more. But you also have a specialty assignment, right?
Yes.
I would say around April, I got into our explosive ordnance disposal unit, which is the bomb squad, the EOD. I've been to a hazmat technician training in, Alabama or Georgia. Mm-hmm. I think it was Alabama. And that was a 1-week course, and I'm set up next to go to hazardous device school sometime, hopefully this year. There's only one school in the nation that teaches it, so it's a long waiting game. We've mm-hmm. had two of our techs just come back from that school. It's a 6-week school, and one of the techs that works with our department, he was on the squad for a year to a year and a half before he got into that school. So I'm basically just learning from the certified technicians on the squad about what the bomb squad does, what's entailed, and just getting educated on it until I'm up for my bomb tech school.
So not only are you an SRO, you're a part of the bomb squad, but you're also on honor guard. You're like the extracurricular guy here at PCSD.
I've been on the honor guard actually since I was on the correction side of the house. 2012, I believe. And it pays off to take care of yourself because I don't have any military background or anything like that. The only background I had that was related to the correction employment was security. But I showed up to work. We used to wear black boots and brass badges before the vest and embroidered names and stuff like that. I used to shine them. My boots, you could see your face on the polish that I had on them. I greased my uniforms. I still grease my uniforms. I would get in trouble by the honor guard commander if I was seen without creases. But it feels good to take care of yourself and present yourself as you want to be seen. And that's how I would like to be seen. But getting back to it, that's how I got on the honor guard was showing that I cared of what I'm doing. And if you have work ethic that's positive like that, then years down the road, you may be able to say that I do this, that, and this, because hopefully you can say you earned it. And that's how I feel.
Nice. Yeah. That's great. When you're an honor guard or wherever you're at, you're representing department. You don't realize it, but wherever you go in uniform, you know, there's a sheriff's deputy and people are always watching and looking at you. Speaking of watching, do you guys ever have a favorite episode of the class? Other than the ones that, like, where I talked to you, was there one that was your favorite? Oh, they were all that good, huh?
There was. there was a bunch of really fun ones to watch, like almost all of them. And what was so more intriguing to me was that it was us, you know, like people that did this years ago, they don't have anything to go back and refer to. At any time in our lives, we can go back and just search it, even YouTube search it. Mm-hmm. And rewatch it and kind of reminisce, which I have done just to get a laugh. And
yeah.
It is like an electronic mm-hmm. yearbook.
Yeah.
And if every class could have that, I think every class would love to have that to look back to. Because I remember my Corrections Academy, I got a DVD, a CD with a recording on, you know, our graduation video.
Mm-hmm.
My fault, 100%, but I don't know where it's at. And I wish I knew where it's at. But with something like this, it's
on the cloud.
It's bookmarked.
You
just get on your phone and you can watch it anytime. Yeah. But my favorite episode that I got to say that I like to laugh at a lot, and I love him, and he knows I love him, but was the driving school, Flores.
Oh.
And he's such a serious guy. You get to know him. He is really funny. He's a really stand-up
he's a real good guy,
but the 10-2 on the steering wheel, the focus is laser beam eyes,
right.
And he's it makes me laugh because I'm like, dude, look how focused and
super
into it
hyper focused
like,
he was on to
calm down on your grip a little bit. Sit back in the seat.
You look what like did the steering wheel do?
Yeah. I'm like, you're sitting like my Filipino mom, a foot away from the steering wheel.
Oh,
hey, some of us, it's hard to see, you know?
Hey, that's not funny. Because Stan and I were on Foothills together, remember?
Yeah.
And then I had my first vehicle, the seat. Remember that? The seat was broken. Stuff doesn't work.
Tahoe.
Okay.
That one was a 13 to 12 work. Uh-huh. Me being short, right? I'm like, okay, cool. Let me adjust the seat. So the front part would raise, but the back wouldn't. So I'm like going further down, not helping me out any, right? So I was like, okay, well, let me see. They have like a cushion, and it's so I put the cushion in there. This guy saw it. Over. Done. Next thing you know, everybody on the squad.
He didn't tell anybody because it was a booster seat.
It wasn't a booster seat, dude.
It wasn't a cushion, right? To even things out. I get it.
It's the cushion.
You guys didn't know about that.
We were on a call. I had to go to his vehicle, and I saw it. And I completely forgot what I was doing because I'm like, Marcus, you got a booster seat? And then just for squad laughs, I shared it with the rest of our squad.
Yeah, that was funny.
He never heard the end of it.
Nope.
Until he got an upgraded vehicle.
Yeah. Nice.
Still don't hear the end of it.
Fine. I used to use a booster seat for the news too. So I get it. All right. So since you said that you look back and you kind of watch the episodes, what do you think looking back now to see yourself in the academy, you know, 3 years ago baby Odell, and then and then now to see how far you've come and just how involved you are and the person that you are here with the department, what is that like?
I would say it kind of makes me feel proud because the things that Marcus and I were doing as our class leaders, I think in the moment I wasn't really too pleased. I wasn't too happy with how things were being handled or how the academy was going, that we weren't, all of our ducks weren't lined up. But now looking back at it, we were pretty squared away. Like the class was really good. And the joy of looking back, seeing how somebody was at the academy and now seeing some of my classmates out in the streets and how good, how great actually the police officers that they become, I some of them I didn't expect, and now seeing how what they're becoming kind of, it almost makes me feel like a proud father, which is sad to say because I care about like them more than I do I, you know. And but me personally, I looking back at the class, I can say I wouldn't want to do it again.
But, not even the OC?
So the OC is the worst thing that I would say that I've ever done in my life. And I would not want to get OC'd again. But I would do it with the camera in my face because I feel like being on the show helped me get through that because it kind of pushed me even harder than I probably thought that I could physically or mentally go. And you just don't know how far you could go without that pressure being on you. So I think it's a positive pressure.
It was fun to be out there, you know. Sometimes I felt like I was with you guys in there, especially for driving because they let me take the car around. Yeah. And that was fun. So it was good. It was a lot of work, but it was worth it. Long days, long nights, because sometimes when you guys were done with the academy, I'd come here and I had to edit something or put it together.
Right.
And just getting schedules and, you know, I was following you and doing the other stuff for the department. So there was a lot going on. Speaking of your class, do you guys still talk? Do you guys ever meet up? What is it like now?
I got pretty much my squad is my class. So I got Matt. I got Tim, myself, and then on my squad. Mm-hmm. And then there's like all everybody else is all on like either swings or mids too. So yeah, we keep in touch. And then the other guys are pretty much in the majority of them, I would say, are in the busier districts with maybe a couple others other in like the other not as busy districts.
Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, for the most part, still stay in contact. There's a few guys that left the department even after graduating just to go elsewhere or to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of them that I still talk to. And then what Marcus is talking about, the squad up north, Foothills is where he was assigned. That's where I started, so I worked with a lot of those guys. But then in our first year, you kind of get bumped around a lot. What district needs another person or somebody, a senior person wants out. It kind of just comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us were moving around, but we saw each other moving around. But I still talk to a lot of them. I still talk to a lot of guys from the jail. So if you've made friends with me and all of my classmates are truly my friends, I'll always be there to talk to you.
What advice would you have for someone thinking about applying to be a deputy? There's going to be a few academies starting. What advice would you have for someone, one, thinking about applying, but two, starting the academy?
It is definitely not a job that's for anybody that's faint of heart, willing to put in the work, the prep. What else?
I brought a bunch of stuff for this one.
So. You did?
Drop it on us, guys.
Drop it. Go for it, Snap.
I would say if you're applying for this career path, is do your homework. What I mean by saying that is reach out to anyone in law enforcement, ask questions, find out information on what exactly this career path entails. Call our community resource officers or our recruiting officer, ask questions. They will be more than happy to help you. If you are questionable about anything, they'll have the answer for it.
Ride-alongs?
Do ride-alongs. Get with the administration building or even the stations in the district. You can go to the front desk and ask about ride-alongs, and they can kind of set you up for that. A ride-along will open your eyes on what a patrol deputy goes through on a normal shift.
Yeah.
And that will tell you what you're going to get involved in and what you're going to do and if that's really what you want to do.
A couple ride-alongs would be good. So you get a taste of a day shift. The different there's a huge difference between all the shifts. Because ultimately, if a new deputies, you're more than likely you're going to be going over on a midshift or you're going to taste a midshift.
That'd probably be the most positive thing a person that wants to apply for this type of career is a ride-along. Because say you do a ride-along, you can also ask that questions with that officer that you're or deputy that you're riding around with. Any answers that you need for any type of questions that you have. I think a ride-along would definitely mentally prepare somebody for applying for the job. But then if you're in the academy and you're a recruit, my strongest opinion that we've seen personally going through it is don't shell yourself like a turtle shell. Yeah. Don't stay hidden. Don't stay closed. Don't hold back your opinions, but obviously express them respectfully within the group of recruits that you have. You have to be a voice. You have to open up to your classmates, communicate.
Communication is huge for your class. If you don't speak out with your classmates or let them know what's going on, sometimes they might not like what you have to say, but nevertheless, if you don't say it, it's going to ponder on you. Next thing you know, what you didn't say is going to affect the class, because it's going to affect either you and that squad, that classmate, or it could have probably, somebody else might have had the same thing or same thoughts, and now it's being brought up. So they could squash it, and then it helps with that cohesion, make it a tighter group.
And then it'll also benefit you as well, like in developing leadership skills. That's probably how we ended up in our roles, is because we didn't keep our mouths shut, and we started expressing our opinions on what we think we should do, where the class will vote, and you will vote on who you're going to have represent your class. And our class voted for us.
That's questionable. I got voted in or not.
And then I would just say, stay focused, study hard, learn quickly, learn from your mistakes, adapt from it. Don't stay up late, get good rest, and show up early and never be the last one.
Great advice. That's just good life advice too, I feel like.
Yeah. If you're early, you're probably on time.
Right.
So
if you're on time, you're late.
If you're on time, you're definitely late.
If you're early, you're on time.
If you're early, you're on time, and that's kind of pushing late.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. There's no reason to be late.
Should be able to relax.
If you know that you're supposed to be somewhere, it's the circumstances that come up that make you late, but not your planning to be on time, even with those possible circumstances that take place. Nice. So if you get a flat tire, you should have left 30 minutes ago because you're expecting a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're on time when you're early, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, you should watch the class probably too before you get to the academy. Just a little plug.
That's a part of the homework aspect, right? Let me see. Let me watch the class.
I've watched every class that you guys done.
Well, this just
did you watch that. The corrections one?
I did.
Oh, what'd you think of that?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, man, there's not to knock our academy, but the corrections academy is so much more physically enduring.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know, the book study and the learning, the classroom time, because there's so much classroom time with us.
Yeah, think about us, though. We have a lot of classroom that we need, for certification.
5.5 months versus...
And all that class, that end of course test was no joke.
That was
no joke.
That was more nervous than the camera.
Yeah,
was that test. That one, he's like, you're all of this. It comes down to this one test. You pass or fail. You fail, well, thanks for coming out. Not even a participation trophy.
Yeah.
So every weekly test that you take throughout the entire academy, all of those tests are combined together at your AZ post test at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, how you did on those or what you remember or recollect from it is pretty much the same thing on the Arizona post test that you need to pass. It's a pass or fail. And then I think just hearing those words made me super nervous, but fortunately everybody passed.
Yeah, fortunately.
Nice.
What about future aspirations for the department? I know that you say you wanna be here for a while, here as well. What are some of your goals? What would you like to do in the future?
Honestly, I'm always open to try anything.
Yeah.
I rarely say no.
We appreciate it because you're always willing to take pictures or videos.
Thank you.
It's hard to get Deputy's on camera.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate it too. My mom enjoys it, so if I can make my mom happy, then I'm happy. But for the future aspect of the department,
just go.
I kind of just go with the flow, whatever comes my way, or if somebody asks me or want me in a certain unit, then I give anything a try. But I would like to get involved in the training center at some point in my career. I miss that on the correction side. And on the correction side of the house, I was asked numerous times. My kids were younger. They're still kind of young, but they were younger. So it was kind of hard for scheduling purposes. Mm-hmm. But now that they're getting older, and if I can get a little more time under my belt on the commission side, on this side of the house, then ultimately, I would like to spend some time at the training center, because I think that's where it all begins there. That's where you're kind of developing the recruit on who they're going to be by mentoring them as a counselor or educating them as the class officer. So I think personally I would enjoy that experience if it were to come my way.
Imagine Stan as a class officer.
Ooh. You better be squared away. Yeah. And those creases better be tight.
Yeah. You better lock your car.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen this man, he's like, okay, Stan. Okay, the Stan that I know is like, okay, cool. We're like funny, go-getting, like smiles, laugh. All right, cool. But then also seen it to where if you have to flip the switch and then get into somebody's backside, I was like,
I'm the nicest person. I've been told this.
Even, situational even, thing, right?
Yeah. Even while working the jail by inmates, I've been told that.
That's the scary part, being that nice. Like, it's like, wait, this person is like my class officer, but then he's super nice. Like, what's behind the skin?
They said just
what's up his sleeve?
Don't upset me. Yeah. But that's something that's. You need to know that you're capable of, and you need to know how to control it. Mm-hmm. When it's time to flip the switch, you need to know when it's time to flip the switch. And after, you know, all my time in the department, even on the correction side of the house, especially on the correction side of the house, you need to know that working in the jail, you have nothing but your OC on you. You need to know how to talk to people, especially inmates that may have been incarcerated 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. You might have more prison time than your age, which is a lot of the times that happens in there. So I know how to talk to people, and I think that is my most beneficial aspect on being on the streets, is I can go to calls, and even if something's irate or somebody's under the influence and can't control their behavior, I know how to talk to somebody, and I can easily talk them down, calm them down, de-escalate them just by words. To know that that's possible, that you don't always have to go hands-on with somebody just because they're not listening to you. And a lot of times everyone has an opening some way to get through.
Yeah. Marcus, any future aspirations for you, the department?
Future aspirations? I pretty much...
Captain, Lieutenant.
No.
Wow.
No.
I would say this about Marcus is... I envisioned him, because I had this with our whole class, where I thought all of our classmates would end up, okay. Kind of like predicting and seeing what they would kind of do or become. Like Viacana, he's a hardcore Harley Davidson rider. He went through motor school with
him. Yeah, he was one of those.
I expected him to, because I'm like, oh, he rides Harleys. He's gonna mm-hmm. he wants to get into motors. My thought process on you was, and I know you have talked about this too, was like a weapons instructor or working at the range, because Marcus had did that in the military for a long time. He was a lead weapons instructor for the Air Force. But then again, because I had thought about it, my father was the kennel master canine handler for the Air Force. And when he came to the Sheriff's Department,
he didn't want nothing to do with
they
the
asked
dog.
Him to be a canine handler, and he's like, I can't do that no more, because there's a lot of emotions involved in it. There's a lot of responsibility, and I saw that growing up as a child with my dad. So I can understand that decision. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about firearms, weapons, guns, etc., maybe that's a little different. I don't know, Marcus.
Was it true?
I mean, I've been told that maybe I should go for it whenever there is an opening. If there is an opening, try to go that aspect, since, like Stan said, I've done weapons instructing for, started off in 2004, and then all the way through my retirement, with in between that, as well as teaching like weapons and tactics and everything else, because I was a warfare training instructor as well, so I have a very large background in teaching and that academic aspect. I was a certified instructor for the military, so I would like to go into teaching as well, but I also want to be able to be one of those that can teach and also do. And too commonly you hear the phrase of those that can't do teach. Well, I don't think that's a real good thing, because if you're going to teach it, you should be able to do it. So you got to practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. I had guys like that worked for me. It was like, well, if you can't shoot, why are you an instructor? You need to be able to practice what you preach, get better. And they would, after some encouragement, as we do in the military. But yeah, I like it. Any new school, anything new that comes open, even from when I was on probation, I went off and became a phlebotomist when I was on probation. They're like, "Well, you're still on probation. You sure you want to do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, why not? You'd be a fool not to take some kind of training. Mm-hmm. If it's allotted to you, why not take it?"
Yeah.
So anything new comes up, you can ask Stan. I'm always messaging like, "Hey, dude, you heard about this?" It's like, "Yeah." It's like, "Well, I'm putting in for it." Mm-hmm. It's like, "Why not?" You know, right. And get another tool for your tool belt, kind of thing.
A lot of different opportunities in this department, I've noticed, where you can do different things. Yes. You don't have to stay in one spot.
Yeah. I got to work with the DUI squad quite a bit. Street racing, doing that street racing aspect that we did, mm-hmm. Those deployments. So that was fun. Traffic.
There's many specialty units.
Yeah.
I think if you were to do a 20, 25 year career, starting from day one when you graduate,
you can't even reach them all.
You can't even reach all the units. Mm. That's how many there are. Yeah. And what's nice about the specialty units with our department is there's so much training involved with each one that when you do get into one, the department's invested in you because they trust you where you're at. That's why you're there, and they're training you up to par where you need to be to hold those standards to stay in the unit. And there's a lot of recertifications, which is a lot shorter than getting certified. So once you're certified, 1 year, 2 years sort of recertifications that you need to get, they're going to keep you at the position because you've held it. You've held your certified responsibility of being whatever unit that you're in.
That's a good thing that there's so many different branches you can hold off to, because like the new people coming in or the new recruits, I understand, you know, they're going to go out onto the road, they're going to go out into the field, but there's also that light at the end of the tunnel that, hey, I can always do something else if I want, or I could be a detective, I could work economic crimes, do something else, and then I can always also go back to the street too if need be, you know,
which a lot of guys do. There's so many. Mm-hmm. You can name five right away, like search and rescue, DUI,
canine,
traffic, canine,
motors,
detective,
yeah,
motors,
all the
SRO.
There's a lot.
Many.
Yeah.
So the opportunity's there, and even if it's something that you don't think you're doing as a career aspect, if it's something directed towards you want to do in your future, a specialty unit, you can still thrive to do that and even take that elsewhere if that's what you wanted to do. It's also a way to avoid a schooling aspect. You can get the exposure and, to me, the pridefulness of being a certified peace officer and serving this the county and the public. And then by doing that, you're still doing what you're interested in, even if you wanted to leave down the road with that experience to do something else.
So you guys had breaks for lunch, right? Were you able to make your meal, or were you able to go out for one? I'll take it. You only made your meal, right?
So same person, Mendoza.
This is the car guy?
Is that where the question comes from? Because you know this?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Something I didn't know.
Well, yeah. let him finish his question.
Oh, okay.
So it sounds like you guys weren't able to go out for lunch.
For sure.
What was your favorite meal to make for lunch that you brought in? Okay. There you go.
My favorite meal, or the favorite meal that Stan's mom made?
my mom would make Filipino food, and then I let her know about Marcus being an Islander as well.
Uh-huh.
So any type of leftovers, I would shoot it his way. And then he would give back and bring me, you know, a coffee sometimes in the morning.
We had our ritual coffee in the morning, especially like before a test.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd hit stand up. It's like, hey, dude, I'm in the drive through. It's like, what you want? You get the same? He's like, yeah. Come over there. It's like, okay, let's go.
Man, my favorite meal, to be honest, I like to try to eat quick because I was always presented with some type of issue or some kind of question by the class, or getting pulled out by the training staff to be questioned about one of our classmates doing something or us doing something. So I kept it easy. I just
sandwich,
fruit and a sandwich.
Okay.
And then
beef jerky.
Yeah.
Easy, quick.
If you know Deputy Palmer, he was in our class. Mm-hmm. If you don't know him, we call him Ogre because he's a big, big guy.
He is a giant.
I would just feed off of his dishes because he'd bring so much food.
Yeah.
A four-course meal for lunch.
But the story that Marcus is talking about was day one, and we love Mendoza. So Mendoza, if you're listening to this, you know we love you. And he laughs back at it too, so he'll probably just laugh so much when he listens to this later. But the training staff for the training academy grounds, you have an orientation. You go to orientation, which is kind of just show up, meet people, get a book, and then you go back home. And then over the weekend, you're supposed to look at the book. You're supposed to read the rules, everything that you're supposed to do, basically.
And not do.
Mm-hmm. One of them was don't leave the property of the training grounds until morning, until you're dismissed, which means don't leave during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our classmates left at lunch.
Oh,
no. And I remember getting pulled out by
Chick-fil-A,
a counselor.
Right?
Yeah. And
I understand the whole Chick-fil-A.
That's a good choice for lunch.
Me too. But that led to something else also.
Yikes.
I got pulled out by a counselor and they're like, hey, you know what Recruit Mendoza is? You know, me, I'm like, sir, no, sir. And honestly, I'm learning people's names. I don't even know what that is yet. And he ends up coming back after we're done with lunch in class. We got worked outside. We got called out by the class officer, the training staff. You know, push-ups, sit-ups, up-downs.
It's a bad memory. I don't even want to remember it.
He ended up going to Chick-fil-A, and the number one question asked was, why didn't you bring us anything?
We're
all going to get in trouble. Yeah. But you should have just at least got us all a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But he never did that again.
Okay. Angelica, what about you? Do you have a favorite like meal you make for lunch? You can't go anywhere. You just need a lunch. What do you make?
Well, that'll fit in a small paper bag.
I remember the paper bag. Because it is the new year, you know, I've been trying to eat healthier. So uh-huh. I've just been doing like chicken and veggies. Very easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What about mine you? Is like if I make a tri-tip or some kind of like protein or chicken steak, whatever, cutting that steak and that chicken up, getting like a bag of Caesar lettuce and cucumbers and either put ranch or Caesar dressing on it. I love that. Super simple, simple, easy, and you can eat it quick.
Yeah.
And you're using those leftovers for something else. Because a lot of times, you know, leftovers, like, I don't know if I want it, you know.
Yeah, you have to repurpose it into something
right,
else.
Makes it a second meal, and it tricks your mind like, oh, this is a second
is
meal.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Good.
But if it could be noted, in the academy setting, they provide or tell you what kind of paper bags you get, and your lunch has to fit in that bag.
Oh, boy.
And you get two microwaves in there.
Two microwaves with however many's in your class, and ours started with 38.
Mm-hmm. Started.
Yeah, started with 38 people for basically a 45-minute lunch with two microwaves. So sometimes the microwave's not suitable.
Right.
Otherwise,
sandwich is the way to go.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
Super easy, quick, and don't have to worry about a microwave.
Yeah.
But now, being out of the academy grounds, and if I have to eat lunch in my patrol vehicle or whatnot, I sit on the same page as you both.
Yeah.
So a nice protein, a green, and eat healthy. Something I can actually fit in a big lunch box.
Yeah.
And not a lunch paper bag.
That is nice to have that option. Nice. You see Mendoza going to the drive-thru to Chick-fil-A.
With his trunk open.
Yeah. Oh, love that guy. That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much. It was great having you. Great to catch up. You know, it's been a while since we've talked. I know we've emailed back and forth. But it's great to catch up, hear the stories, hear some of the inside stuff. So some of the stuff you guys talked about, I didn't know because I was so busy filming and editing. So it was great. Great to have you guys on. I thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I'm excited to see what you guys do with the department. You guys have very bright futures ahead. So thank you for listening to episode 8 of PCSD.
What's the word?